1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. The manhunt in parts of Minnesota for a suspect who killed two people, one a state lawmaker, is continuing as authorities ask people to keep sheltering in place. CBS News has learned that the name of the suspect is Vance Luther Bolter, and he is a Minnesota man in his 50s. CBS's Michael Wallace with details.
An unspeakable tragedy has unfolded in Minnesota.
Governor Tim Walz.
Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark were shot and killed early this morning in what appears to be a politically motivated assassination.
Police say they were shot at their Brooklyn home by a man who impersonated a police officer. In nearby Champlin, the same suspect wounded Senator John Hoffman and his wife at their home. Mark Brule with Brooklyn Park Police says the suspect shot at officers but got away.
We do have the suspect's car. Suspect is on foot.
In his car, they found a manifesto with a long list of other lawmakers' names. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Israel is warning that there will be more attacks on Iran after Tehran fired a barrage of missiles that killed at least three and wounded dozens. The two nations have been trading attacks since yesterday when Israel attacked Iran over that nation's nuclear program. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
We paved the way to Tehran, and our pilots over the skies of Tehran will deal blows to the Ayatollah regime that they cannot even imagine.
President Trump and Russian President Putin had a conversation about the escalating situation in the Middle East. CBS's Willie James Inman.
In a statement, the president said the call lasted about an hour, with the leaders discussing prisoner exchanges between Ukraine and Russia. Mr. Trump also said he and Putin discussed the need to end the conflict between Iran and Israel. That's when the president told Putin the conflict between Russia and Ukraine must also end.
There are so-called No Kings protests going on across the nation over President Trump's policies, that massive military parade happening in the nation's capital tonight, and his stepped-up immigration enforcement. Mawad Awade heads the New York Immigration Coalition.
We're a country that, at our foundation, is the U.S. Constitution, which enshrines all of our rights. And what we're seeing happen right now with the Trump administration is their flagrant abuse of all of our rights.
The 2025 FIFA Club World Cup kicks off tonight.
This is really a pet project of the current FIFA president, so he is gung-ho about that. You can just look at the fact that there is $1 billion, yes, billion with a B, dollars up in prize money for those who are competing in this cup. So FIFA is really investing in trying to make this prestigious.
That's CBS's Elizabeth Campbell. Also tonight is game 5 of the NHL playoffs between the Oilers and the Panthers. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Southwest Wisconsin is seeing a surge in clean energy, emerging as a hotbed for large-scale renewable projects. Proponents say they're economically benefiting the community. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
About 10% of Wisconsin's electricity is from renewable sources. The industry employs about 6,500 people and invests $15.5 million a year in property, state, and local taxes, and more than $15 million annually in land lease payments. Caden Crapp with the Wisconsin Land and Liberty Coalition says along with the economic benefits, clean energy has the potential to provide the state with autonomy.
One of the biggest benefits that including these renewable energies into the state grid can bring is that we can start becoming a net exporter by being able to create our own Wisconsin-grown energy and be able to distribute it to other states as well.
A number of proposed projects are slated for the area, including the Whitetail Energy Center, the Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center, and the Uplands Wind Project. Each is projected to generate millions of dollars annually and collectively produce hundreds of megawatts of energy to power homes and businesses across the state. Amy Seaboth Wilson with Southwest Wisconsin Technical College says the school is leading the pack in innovation. She says it offers degrees to prepare students for the rising industry. The renewable energy influx has faced some controversy, with critics saying they replace some of the state's agricultural uses. Opponents say less than 2% of Wisconsin's 14 million acres of agricultural land would be needed to reach the state's clean energy goals. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm, highs in the upper 60s. Mid-50s tonight with some rain after midnight. For Sunday, chance of showers and storms and highs around 73. For Monday, scattered showers and thunderstorms and highs in the low 80s.
Right now, it's 55.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by Matt Rothschild. We go deep on book banning in Florida. Did you read Judy Blume? Did you like it? Well, Florida kids won't be able to read it anymore. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Man, I just love coming into that. It's Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, because somebody has to. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, chairman of the board, Jacob, me, Dr. Tim Slucker. We're here. Anybody listening across Civic Media? Yes, it's Saturday. You're like, oh my God, I've been waiting to hear Busted Pencils. Well, here we are. Enjoy it. Turn up the radio. Roll down your windows. Let the world know that you are listening to the only awesome full 1 hour public education advocacy radio show. You know, just stormtroopers for democracy. Does that even work to put those two things together?
Sounds very negative and
yeah. I know.
You know, we're going to have a whole special show on Jacob and I talking about Andor, and we got to get you on that, Tim. But
yeah, you got to get me on that.
Of democracy seem like contradicting paradigms.
I know, but it's just that everything that's going on right now, it's kind of hard to not want to kind of say it's just like I'm in support of can you say radical democracy? Is that? I feel like
direct democracy. You know, supporters of the local. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess these days it is a little bit of like a radical reach.
That's what I meant. I mean, like to truly unequivocally advocate for, you know, measured, in one way, dysfunctional democracy. The kind of where it goes back and forth, lots of discussions. Nobody gets what they want. The reality is, too, Johnny, we're trying to always say it's the common good is what matters, which means sometimes I'm not happy, sometimes you're not happy. But the overall general sense of the well-being of the community, you know, we're talking about that. And it feels like to come out and, you know, unequivocally say that's what we're about here on Busted Pencils. It feels like in the current climate and the current context that that might be, you know, construed as radical. I don't think it's radical because, as we say, you know what? We're incredibly critical of the political party system. You know, this is not an anti-Republican rant to be radical democracy. In fact, I would say being, quote, radical democracy is an is actually a stab at both current parties right now, because in the past, it's not like Democrats, you know, other than wanting to claim they're there to stop the loss of democracy. But in practice, not a lot of what they were putting forward kind of really had the, particularly, Johnny, who say that concern for the commons as the overriding principle, you know. So, Jacob, there's my little bit of a, you know, kind of critique of the current political situation. And pointing out that everybody, yeah, Saturday, hey, and if you're a downloader on Busted Pencils too, we love it. You know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, even some of you crazy weird people who are out there on the iHeart podcast app. I know there are a few people out there who are downloading on the iHeart podcast app. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Wherever you're listening from. Tim, and I always like to come back around to this term radical, because it gets thrown around in such a negative way. I know you're not using it in a negative
way.
But I mean, it's like, oh, everyone's shocked and they hear like, oh, it's radical thinking, or, you know, it's radical imagining of what public education can and ought to be. You know, and I like the term radical, not for its, you know, shock factor. I wish it didn't carry that, but for its, remember, I'm a words guy. I love what words carry forward in meaning. You know, it's Latin origin in roots. And that's truly what democracy is about. We talked about it on the show earlier this week, you know, getting to our local roots of democracy, really explaining about how decentralized decision-making is its core democracy, right? Decisions being made by those directly impacted by the decision.
Right.
So there you go. It's radical in its very word sense, and it's, you know, dictionary definition of the term. You have radical to be at the roots of decision-making. So together, you know, I think it is radical, but I think it's reclaiming radical from, you know, maybe a certain particular leader.
Right.
Who likes to say, ah, there's really radical bad things happening in a particular part of our country right now. That's me kind of poking the bear a little bit about what's happening in Southern California and my utter disgust for the inflammatory reaction of the federal government and the dismissal of localized local governance.
Right. You know, those closest to
the, or at least closer.
Right.
I wouldn't exactly say Gavin Newsom is closest to uprisings from people who are saying these ICE raids are not okay with our community, but closer than say the federal government. And so that's, you know, listener, that's us just recapping a little bit as we're learning from this week, from our roots, you know, the radical relationships of democracy and how that's connected to education. So we'll go in and out of that right this week.
Because we got to get Jacob to comment. He's laughing there. Jacob, what's going on, man?
Sorry. It has nothing to do with what you're saying, really. Partially, because Johnny's talking about the roots of words, and I made a joke to myself in my mind that made me laugh a lot. You know, because we're talking about democracy, right, guys? And you break it down to the roots. It's Greek, demos kratia. That's the etymology of the word, which means people's choice awards. And that's just making me laugh so much. It's so dumb.
Yeah, the people's choice.
Sorry. Yeah.
What? I would love to have that skill set that you just showed us, Jacob, the ability to tell a joke to yourself in your head and laugh out loud. Like we didn't hear you, but I could see you just like Jacob's laughing. I didn't even hear Johnny being funny.
I'm sorry. It was just, it's so dumb that the People's Choice Awards. What's going on in my mind, guys?
Well, I don't People's know. Choice Awards, Stormtroopers for Democracy.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? It's one of those.
They
days,
can't all be winners, Tim.
We can't. And, you know, sometimes it's okay to just be a spectator, right? You know, some put it forward. But that's not what we're trying to do here in Busted
Pencils.
Democracy
is not a spectator
sport. It's not a spectator sport. And, you know, when it comes to, again, back to public education and realizing, hey, the foundation of democracy in America has a profound link to our public education system that has, and I know this is going to drive a couple people crazy, but its number one main goal is not math and reading scores on NAEP tests. It is the promotion of civic virtue, understanding what it means to live and be a responsible citizen in a democracy. And Johnny, that's where, you know, I even now think about, you know, the amount of bad rap that public schools have taken. And I point out, too, that I myself have been one of those critics. And it's not really the critic of public school that bothered me. It was always the distance that public schools, particularly, you know, late 90s through the 2000s, through the new No Child Left Behind years, through the Race to the Top years, moved radically away from the mission of public education and became uber focused on standardized test scores. And, you know, I have no research to back this up. I just have my own thought process that puts me together. But I think the effects of distancing public education from the mission of democracy, I think we're seeing it right now. You know, people say, I don't know, you're going to push. I'm not saying it's a research assertion. I'm saying it's a Tim's observation of the world and going, you know what? We spend 20 years focusing on stupid math and reading scores. Hey, are we really that unbelieving that a lot of potentially our young adults and even some, you know, more, I don't want to say aging adults, but have lost that kind of sense of going, what does it mean to be a citizen of America in a republic? Can democracy, what does it mean? And I don't, you know, right? Kind of putting this forward. Hey, you know what, though? Guess what those 20-some years of focusing on math and reading scores did? Nothing. Nothing.
Well, I'm going to push back on that, Tim, because
I think... Push on me, man.
I think you're sounding a little kids these days, a little bit, get off my lawn. There I say a little boomer, and you're not usually that guy. So, but I'm going to, because I think there's some real truth to this, like the emphasis on, or the narrow focus of prioritizing math, reading, math, reading, math, reading. Every elementary teacher out there listening is like, yeah, seriously, because we've all been there where it's like, well, math, reading, math, reading, math, reading. And we said, why? Well, we get it. Math and reading is important, mm-hmm. right? And so are science, and so are social studies, and so is art class. But we've seen the emphasis because of the high stakes testing, and in mm-hmm. particular, you're referencing like our infatuation, our obsession with numbers and test scores as a measure, and that narrow focus has certainly had an impact. I think you're referring to that. But I'll offer to you that, you know, and I'll stick with our starting metaphor of radical. If public education is the root system, we say the foundation, and I like foundation too, but that's a little more like human built, mm-hmm. the metaphor of radical root. If public education is the root system of a strong democracy, you know, I would say, especially as that's the math teacher in me coming out, but, you know, a balance that being a productive, you know, generative, caring citizen in our communities also requires literacy, mathematics, literacy, right. You know. So there was a balance across those. Tim, I was just kind of pushing because I'm teasing because you were coming off as like, well, we spent too much time on the math and too much time on the reading and not enough time on the caring. And I think kids these days, I'm going to be the kids these days guy, but with a little bit of a differing of view, because we're Tim, you and I are kind of like those guys in the Muppets up in the little balcony. We're like, yeah, this is what's going on, and we're knuckleheads up there. But the idea being like kids, I think, especially in this current generation, remember their educational social experiences and their learning forged in the crucible of COVID-19 and of the largest mm-hmm. social uprising of all of our lifetimes, which is continuing. And we're seeing that like so many citizens of this country, around the country this week especially, are saying, holy smokes, this is not something we're okay with. And it's coming to head in some ways that are demanding attention to it in classrooms around the country. So I think, you know, that we're going to see more of a balancing And I think we probably have been seeing that because these kids are really well balanced. No. Like they kind of understand that democracy is not only just slipping away, but more than that, the world they want to be in and they want for their futures and for their children's futures is radically different. There, I used it again, radically different than the kind of autocracy we have right now.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, when we come back, though, kids these days, way too much use of the cell phones and smartphones. Yeah, that's right.
Get off my lawn.
That's it. Get off my lawn. Oh, but come back to our lawn right when we get back.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin.
Chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
You hear that little beat there, that little basser? It's Busted Pencils. I know that's what you said when you heard that. Dr. Tim, Dr. Johnny, Jacob, Chairman of the Boards. Yeah, we're here Saturday across all the Civic Media apps, stations. If you're listening live, we said earlier, roll down those windows, let everybody hear it. If you're downloading the show, Apple, Spotify, iHeart, there's a comment section. There's a rate section. Let us know what you think of the show. We love to hear your comments. And if you don't like us, we want to hear from that. Tell us what it is, because we probably will disagree with you, but it's worth, you know, occasionally looking. But Johnny, okay, get off my lawn. All right. Is this, though, I have a feeling that when I kind of bring this one up, that I'm not sure if we're going to be classified as get off my lawn people, or if we're potentially going to be looking at this issue and saying, I don't know. But the idea, you heard me, cell phones. And in fact, you know, kind of bringing this up, just pointing out there, out of K-12 Dive, which is, you know, one of our go-to media sources Virginia enacts ban on school cell phone use, also limits on social media. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin recently signed legislation banning cell phone use during school hours for all students. All students. The law makes Virginia the 21st state to ban or limit cell phones in schools, according to the legislation. Also, starting January of 26, which is too far off, children in Virginia under the age of 16 will only be allowed to use social media outside of school for 1 hour per day under another law. So thinking about that, Johnny, is this too much regulation of social media, which is this communication tool that's essential, or is this a good thing? And I'm going to say, this is a good thing, man. I think this is long overdue. And the fact is that, you know, kids, yeah, I've been there. I've seen it. And I think, Johnny, you're going to talk about more direct experience, actually, the what you're seeing when things like this happen. But you know what? 6 hours a day in a school day, not having access to social media on a cell phone, I think that's a good thing, you know? And if you're going to be, people are like, Tim, you were just ranting though about then having all this time on math and reading. That just means that they're going to force them to pay attention to irrelevant stuff. Well, I don't know, but I think this is a good thing. Johnny, I know this is our short segment, so I'll let you feed in here.
Well, Tim, I think it's a good take. You know, it's not necessarily a hot take. 77% of schools in this country, according to the, you know, National Center for Educational Statistics, have a policy that limits or forbids or bans. I kind of cringe at those words, but they're the right words we have for it. You know, cell phone usage during school time, like learning time. And like anything we know involving youth, if you ban it, you're pretty much locked in that it's going to be used even right more. And so I'm going to sound like a broken record. When things happen like this in a democracy, well, what's the definition of democracy? Decisions made by those impacted directly by the decision. And I've seen successfully, and I'm seeing this play out successfully from student perspectives, which is ultimately the most important one here, even though we do know that overusage of cell phone and, you know, prolonged time on social media, you know, hinders your education. It also hinders your ability to just be well grounded, connected, and socializing with your peers. But, you know, that's us nerding out to it. And you can tell a 13 or 14 or 15 year old that, and, you know, where they're at with what values them. Remember, being in that age, it's the connections to their friends. And for a lot of them, human connection is technologically mediated. So schools that are doing this ban are doing a great job of sort of providing an opportunity to reconnect in a human, non-technologically mediated way. And by golly, guess what kids are saying? We like this. I almost fell out of my chair. You know, I've spent the better part of the spring every year talking to teachers and being in schools, learning like what's happening in your school. And in particular, visited a handful of schools who not only reported that they had pretty strict rules of cell phone usage, but whose students really enjoyed that. And I said, I got to really hear from those students. They must be prepping these kids for this. And, you know, to some degree, they always tell me kind of what I might want to hear, but, you know, they break down past those barriers a bit. And they were saying things like, hey, it's fine. You could kind of use your phone sometimes. Like you can sneak it in your locker and you could have it, you know, in your pocket. But we really enjoy, we really like that we are able to be in conversations together. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember, these are kids, if they're in like middle school and high school, whose formative years in elementary were spent in isolation.
Right.
And you talk about like the traumas of coming out of COVID learning. I mean, young people want to connect with other young people. And certainly we know that's facilitated tremendously by technology these days, i.e. social media apps and all these things. But having a break from those is something young people are reporting as that they value. And that's aligned with the statistics in the research, right, Tim? Learning is better. Mental health is better. Yeah. Our social relational skills improve. And by golly, these are, dare I say it, bans or regulations I'm kind of down for.
I love it because, you know, here it is, an adult decision that kids are agreeing with. Yeah. That in itself is historic. All right, though, when we come back, maybe we'll make history because, Johnny, I got to wonder, what about social media itself? Bust the pencils when we get back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. A manhunt in Minnesota after a gunman killed two and wounds two others in what police are calling a politically motivated attack. Two are Democrats. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass.
Political violence just has no place in our country. We have seen the rise of threats, attempts, and attacks, and it is horrifying, and it absolutely, positively must stop.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is warning that there will be more attacks against Iran after Tehran fires more missiles at Israel.
We've taken out their senior military leadership. We've taken out their senior technologists who are leading the race to build atomic weapons.
No Kings demonstrations around the nation from L.A. to Philadelphia to New York against President Trump's policies. Donna Lieberman at the New York Civil Liberties Union.
It's not up to a king, a president, the federal government to take over local law enforcement.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
The Brewers battle the Redbirds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Cardinals face off again today at AmFam Field. St. Louis trying to snap a six-game losing streak. Last night, the Brewers held on to win 3-2 thanks to some good base running by Sal Frelick, who has also improved his play in right field.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you want to improve every year. You know, I think last year I was definitely able to get to a ton of balls that I thought I really did a good job, you know, with my first step quickness and stuff like that. And then, you know, this year I think just the arm accuracy is something I was working on a ton, worked on spring, and just making sure we're having clean transitions out there and just throwing it on the money. Doesn't need to be, you know, whipped as hard as I can or, you know, head snapping, pulling balls down, but just, you know, making sure it's a good long hop, one hop, and getting it there.
And the Brewers are signing first baseman Aaron Vaughn to their Nashville team. The crew acquired Vaughn in that trade for pitcher Aaron Civale, who was sent to the last place Chicago White Sox. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Alan Ritchson has played Reacher for 3 seasons now, and season 4 is currently in production. It's a good gig because there are 29 Reacher books, and each one equals one TV season, which could keep an actor working for quite a while. The role is iconic and based on the books by Lee Child. Ritchson says when he won the role, he was nervous about trying to fill the shoes of Tom Cruise, who played the character in the movies. Ritchson says he was really thrilled when he got the part, but recently said that he was even more excited when he realized the character Reacher in the book eventually has thinning hair. Richson says he erupted in cheers when he read that because there is no pressure now to not go bald, which for a guy can be a challenge over the course of 29 TV seasons. Great show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm, highs in the upper 60s, mid-50s tonight with some rain after midnight. For Sunday, chance of showers and storms and highs around 73. For Monday, scattered showers and thunderstorms and highs in the low 80s.
Right now, it's 55.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the news from over the weekend and wrap it up with audio sorbet and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
You gotta be careful. I might hit my head off the mic and fall over, and then you guys will be without a co-host and another person there.
I don't want you to fall over in your shower there, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah, coming from the bathroom that is my new Busted Pencils studio. No, we're just joking. Dr. Tim Slecker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, Busted Pencils, one full hour. Okay, so cell phone banning, and Johnny, I like the way you kind of actually put this out to say even more, because when you just say 21 states, it's like, wow, only 21 states. And the reality is these are states that have said statewide, we've now codified this into law.
Yeah, we've got almost 80% of public schools in this country. Yeah,
local school districts themselves are acting locally, Johnny, making decisions for themselves about what they're seeing and what makes sense. And actually 80% of all public schools are saying, you know what, this is a problem, and it's not about get off my lawn.
Well, where it's successful, Tim, is when it's not adults saying, here's a decision we made for you. Remember that kids are part of a democracy,
right?
And decentralized decision-making, we're hammering at home that that's the roots of democracy. Well, guess what? It works really well in the schools and the districts where they've said, like, hey, we are making this rule because we want you to engage differently, mm-hmm. to have a break, to have a balance. We're not saying phones are bad, put them away, or you're going to cheat if your phone is out. Well, I'm sure some people are, but any teacher listening, you've been there with us. I mean, there were cell phones in the classroom when I was still teaching, mm-hmm. and, you know, there was sort of an art to making sure they weren't a distraction. And they certainly were not equipped with as many potentially harmful or relationship altering distractions as exist right now. So I think that's a nice segue too, Tim, into kind of you left us off at the break. You were saying you also kind of feel like a get off my lawn guy about social media, but I want you to bring that into the fold.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's an even when I'm hearing students tell me why they enjoy that their teachers hold them accountable to, you know, not mm-hmm. having their phones out in class, you know, or things like that, as not part of the school day, what they're valuing, what I hear them is they're valuing their time in social gathering together in a very different way. So okay. I think that's related to your concern about social media. Why don't you let that rip and let's chew on it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's it, because to go further, and there's been a lot of discussion around the whole idea of access to social media from the standpoint of saying, at what age should anybody have access to this media outlet, you know, never world of this, and saying, you know, I mean, we limit certain things by age for all kinds of things, because we say there's, you know, you're not ready. Your body is physically not, you know, mature enough. The brain isn't ready. And so, you know, we do this all over the place. Social media, you know, right away when people started saying, wait a minute, we want, you know, you're talking about banning kids from social media. You're like going, yeah, that's what we're talking about. Because now that we've seen its effects on kids, particularly mental health, and in fact, one of the statistics here, research from Common Sense Media, finds that one in four students themselves realize the effect, the negative effect social media has on their mental health. The other caveat in here is that they realize, and this is maybe why the quote ban in school on cell phones really for social media, and we're saying it has truly an addictive property, and students themselves find that they can't get off it even when they are engaging in social media experiences that are demoralizing, that are traumatic, that have, you know, a direct effect on their mental health, because it has that ability. In fact, it was built in by tech companies to be addictive, and it rewards you for negative behaviors. It's engineered to keep you in there. And the more outrageous, the more traumatic, the more horrible, the more it sucks you in. And I'm going to tell you this. Me banning myself from social media was liberating, because I'm telling you, the effect on my mental health of being sucked in to arguments on Facebook and arguments on Twitter and just reading those things as if all this stuff, you know, has a room, getting out of it, dropping it, I feel better. Truly, I feel better. I'm not thinking about, boy, that person last night really has got me going. And, you know, hey, and then you think about kids. And so we say, should there be a ban? Well, I've heard this. Let me just finish this thought, Johnny. The point of saying, well, you know, it's a free speech issue. I don't know. But, you know, in social media companies are not going to engineer the technology, even though they could very easily engineer this technology to restrict access in ways they're not going to. So do we need to legislate that these media companies, social media companies, create barriers that allow for parents to make decisions about how long kids can get on social media a day? My answer is hell yeah.
Well, Tim, I mean, you're kind of all over the place on this.
I know.
But I want to say, like, congratulations on you finding that a break from social media brought you joy, gave you, you know, distance from those behaviors. And I'm going to say also belong to you and your usage of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of agree with you, because me limiting my time on social media, I've seen an increase in my mental health and well-being. But we're from a different generation. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about this, Tim, is, and no technology is completely culturally neutral. You know, you allude to that, but you also kind of sound a little conspiracy theorist around, like, these tech companies are trying to trick these kids. But I'm with you in terms of that it is opened up and rewritten, maybe we say, the blueprint, or it's woven itself into the fabric of our social relationships in a way, and this is something that's interesting, in a way that is almost inescapable in terms of, if you're a young person right now, it's a little different, Tim, for some old guys who, you know, we have families, we have friends, we have we actually learn to make relationships before this was even a thing. And so to think about, you know, say being in like 7th grade or 10th grade or 11th grade and to check out completely from social media or to not be engaged is also isolating. And so what's interesting is that for every major way that social media is studied for its negative impacts, there are also a lot of positive impacts, which like reminds me of this kind of thing. It's like, hey, let's figure out for each person, and especially for young people, how they can be, again, part of the decision making and the know-how, which we know as you're learning, you need some scaffolding and some boundaries around. How do we balance how helpful something is to our lives and how hurtful it is to our lives? And I think it's linked to this, a real practical or pragmatic solution, Tim, is this link that say, hey, we're not telling you social media is bad. We also know it has some really good things. But what we know as adults and professionals in community, i.e. your teachers, is that if you take a break from it, you're going to be more well-rounded. You're going to breathe a little bit. Because, Tim, remember, just being at school subjected you to, like, potentially being bullied. I mean, every single listener, no matter how popular or cool you were in your middle school years, you know, functioned in a social space where you're like, ah, if I say the wrong thing or I do the wrong thing or I wore the wrong thing, you know, I could be part of this. But we also got to go home. We also got to leave school. We also got to go into particular classrooms where there was breaks from the connection to that. So I love where things are kind of organically landing in regards to this. But Tim, I'm also really interested in this. I think it's related, and it's not me pushing back against you, although I did a little on that because I'm like, hey, it's a little of both, Tim. Like, you highlighted the negative stuff, but for all those pieces too, it brings, you know, access to awareness of other people's health issues around the world, you know, increased connection to larger and diverse communities. So there's all these kinds of different ways that it has positive values as well as it has negative values. But one thing I'm really interested in, Tim, because unregulated, and I'm not a big fan of like the government regulating this for us. I think parents, families, children, I'm big as teachers, we empower kids to make choices and we help them be aware of this. I'm the same way with video games and things. You kind of have to learn, right? And the adults in your community help you when you're still forming that capacity in your frontal lobe, but how to regulate something. And I agree with you, Tim, that the ways that they're designed to be addictive makes that regulating hard, but that's part of the world that they're in. But I want to come back around to this. There's a concept that's been, you know, written about, tossed around and spoken about, especially in the last year or so. And I think it's really timely and it's associated. But we are entering an era where we have a generation. I know we talk about Gen Y, Gen Z, all of that. But we really have a broad kind of label for understanding young people right now as the anxious generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some real truth I've been reading, you know, about the anxious generation, And one of the things we do know, Tim, is that like anxiety is at an all-time high.
It's also bad.
I think we know more about diagnosing it, and we've had more widespread trauma in the last few years than previous generations. But in general, what we do know about engagement in social media and prolonged engagement with social media, like several hours and hours a day, it contributes to an increased anxiety. And we are in this anxious generation. So I think it's like, I like to say, like, as educators, one of our roles is to empower our decision makers, our students and families with this information of saying, hey, if you're feeling anxious, limiting your time on social media is probably going to help you a bit. Also, understanding like banning you from it is probably only going to make you more anxious, right? Or like cutting you out as it is social isolation for young people. Their identities are so strongly woven into their social connections through social media platforms. That it is, they are highly addicted to it, but also dependent on. So I think like scaffolding that is really important. But I do see those two things connecting, like the anxious generation and how much damn time we are on these apps and platforms.
Yeah, it is that. And, you know, I'm going to go a little bit more. Yeah, we only got one more segment, you know, on Busted Pencils. Social media, let's stay on this topic. The banning,
Tim, you're sounding like Tipper Gore.
Well, when we get back, I want to ask producer Jacob. I got producer Jacob, and he's going to be on the spot when we get back.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and Senior County Official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP County Commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claimed that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity. Especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes.
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Busted Pencils, where we're speaking quietly during the breaks, practicing our NPR voices based on producer Jacob. No, we don't talk like that.
Thank you, Tim.
Hey, Jacob. All right, Jacob, you've been listening to the two old grumpy men up in the corner of the stage throwing insults at the Utes of America.
Yes.
Even though Johnny kind of loops back, though, and defends the Utes of America, too, at the same time. All right. What do you think, Jacob? I mean, you know, social media, cell phone use, school. I mean, you're closer to having had direct experience. And, you know, what do you make of this conversation we're having?
Well, first of all, Tim, I'm sick of hearing you old fogies prattle on from your high horses about me and my. One second. I just got Twitter. No, no, my mother is not. Anyway,
you got a tweet on X.
I got an X. Oh, I just got an Instagram. Hold on, can we? Oh. All right. Anyway, look, I'm from the last generation, guys, that grew up between these two things of having cell phones around every second and then not before that, because I was born in 1999. So I got my first smartphone in high school instead of when I turned 4, like kids do now. So it's a little bit different. I think that I'm against banning things in general. I think people should be able to decide for themselves. I think that parents should ask themselves, where did this $1,400 thing come from? Did little Johnny go find it on his own? Or did I buy him this thing that's bad for him? I think that would be good. I think that the same thing, whatever. Don't take away South Park from me. Turn your TV off if you don't like it. All right, buddy. But this is the big but here, Tim. And I cannot lie. I think that this is a big enough problem for young people right now that the government might want to consider getting involved with it. I think it can start with taking anonymity away from children on the internet. That's a big thing. You can be anybody on the internet and you can say whatever you want and do whatever you want. I think maybe when you're under 18 years old, it would be better if we had a different system for you being on the internet. Maybe it's a bit more controlled. Maybe you're a bit more monitored than the general population. And of course, Facebook will tell you, Tim, that you cannot be under whatever 16 or 14 and be on Facebook.
Right.
That's just, you know, it doesn't happen to be true because there's no enforcement or way for them to know. But I think it is damaging for young people, Tim. I think people my age and a little bit younger and a little bit older than me spend a lot of time talking about and thinking about how negative social media is for us. I think we are just like you, Tim. We're the, I got off of social media generation.
There it is. All right. Producer Jacob, you know, and hearing about that, and Jacob, you kind of introduced this where I'm, you know, putting out and we don't have a whole lot of time, but you know, I put in the chat here, channels, the idea, access, unrestricted access to everything. Well, I think that we're in a position to say that certain things are not accessible to a certain age group, where right now with social media, as you said, Jacob, okay, you're not allowed on it. Okay, right. You know, any of the quote restricted sites, are you 18 years of age or not? Yes, boom. Okay, there's nothing there. And you know, there's a reason why you say, you know, Johnny, and I'm hoping that this tips a hat to what you were saying. There are positive social media channels out there, right? There are ways that social media can be beneficial for loneliness, for isolation and things like that. So let's actually say, you know what? Where are those places? Well, maybe we have an opening there, but just plain, you know, unrestricted access to everything. And some of it is, we started the show before the show telling you about, you know, my own adult experience with a horrible movie, Jacob's Ladder, not our Jacob.
Yeah. My ladder's fine.
I'm traumatized by that movie. I wished I'd have never had access. And I wished I'd have never had a brother-in-law that made me watch it because I'm scarred. And I think there's a lot of scarring that happens when kids get into these unrestricted places across the internet and social media. And so, you know, yeah, I don't think I'm the
or Tim. You want the sticker on them? You want the
I don't know. I am not Tipper Gore. But you know
this issue you sound like her. That's why I'm gonna just refrain and be in the back. I think all those apps do have that age requirement, and that's on users and on parents, just like, you know, my parents were awful parents for letting me listen to NWA and Public Enemy and all those bands with the parental guidance, explicit lyrics. And every parent that lets their kid play a video game that's for mature audiences is a bad parent. No. I mean, there's just some kind of way you gotta be making these decisions. But I like, Tim, how you advocate for we should do it with the best knowledge, right, of how we're being healthy together.
And you know the best knowledge, though? Now is time for your moment of zen. And if we do act in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presents, and to live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory.
Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils broadcast today. And remember, you can grab great podcasts chock full of more fully leaded education talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on the Civic Media website. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being part of Blue Collar Scholars, Tim and Johnny. We're here for you, and keep busting pencils.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. We're learning more now about the suspect in what law enforcement is calling politically motivated shootings in Minnesota. Police say he is Vance Luther Belter, a Minnesota man in his 50s. One state lawmaker and her husband were killed in their home, and another and his wife were wounded in theirs. Brooklyn Park Police Chief Mark Brule says an extensive search continues.
We are in an extensive manhunt involving hundreds and hundreds of police officers and SWAT teams searching gridding off areas, as we believe confidently the suspect had fled out the back of the house after being confronted by the police.
Police say a manifesto found in Belter's car included an extensive list of targets, including more lawmakers, pro-abortion advocates, and abortion facilities. Minnesota Commissioner of Public Safety Bob Jacobson.
We want to reassure the public that there is increased security in place for elected officials,